speak. Heavenly Father, open our hearts this morning that we might hear your voice and understand what it is you want us to take away today. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Michael has said, today we are thinking about ascension. And the talk today is called The Ascension Dimension, because the ascension is really important in the Bible. But we're going to think today about what actually is it, why did it happen, and what does it mean today to us as individuals, but also to us as a church. So we're going to spend a bit of time this morning looking at both of Luke's accounts of the ascension as they offer an interesting insight into what happened. So you might want to have your Bibles open to Luke 24, 44 to 53, and we'll look at that one first of all, and then we'll come to Acts. So the thing with verse 44, Jesus said, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Jesus is assuring the disciples here that everything that is going to happen has already been foretold. And you'll likely be able to draw to mind a number of places in the Old Testament where it states that a prophet will come, in Deuteronomy, and then in the Psalms and in Isaiah, Jesus' sufferings are prophesied, and then the resurrection in Psalm 16 and Isaiah 53. Jesus is saying here, look, don't be surprised. We knew that all these things were going to happen. Now, there are certain things in our lives that we know will happen. There's a certain inevitability about a number of things, and we know deep in our minds that they will happen at some point, but the actual reality when they do happen can be quite different, because sometimes things can catch us off guard and the reality can be quite different to what we envisaged. I'm sure you can call to times things that you knew were going to happen, but when they actually happened, they weren't quite what you were expecting. In verse 45, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Now, for me, this is one of the most powerful verses in the whole of Luke's gospel. The Holy Spirit, God in spirit form, does this same thing for us today, that same spirit, when we read the Bible. And that's why it's important that we don't read it in isolation. That's why it's important that we read it together, that we read it with each other, that we reflect on it, that we pray about it, that we pray that God will give us the insight to understand what he is saying to it for us. Then we read later in verses 46 to 49, Jesus said, this is what is written. He goes on telling the disciples about what will happen. Verse 47 is particularly significant. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Here, Jesus instructs that all nations need to know the good news of Christ. This good news is not just for the disciples. It's not just for us. It is for everyone. We read on the last part. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. One tiny sentence, he left them and was taken up to heaven. Can you imagine what that might have looked like? What that might have sounded like? And how the disciples, how would they be feeling on witnessing this mind-blowing moment? Jesus' work on earth as a human was done, and he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. But we were given the Holy Spirit, God in another form, to fill us and guide us. Are we holding that truth in our hearts? Before we look at Luke's other account in Acts, because Luke wrote the book of Acts as well, I want to think for a moment about why Jesus ascended into heaven. And it's interesting to read around this topic, and I would suggest that you do that if you have a chance, because there's all sorts of scholarly ideas about why Jesus ascended into heaven. And I'm just going to pick up on a couple of them. Some people say, hang on, why didn't Jesus stay on earth instead of ascending into heaven? And there are lots of explanations around this. Had Jesus stayed on earth, it could be argued that had he stayed here as a human, he would have had the limitations of a human, as he was fully human. So he could only be in one place at one time as a human. People might have felt differently depending on where Jesus was. Maybe people would be thinking, oh, Jesus is far away. Jesus isn't here with me. The other question is this: would we be seeking the Holy Spirit if Jesus was here in human form? Jesus is interceding for us, for you, for me. And that's why we pray in Jesus' name. That's why we say, through Christ our Lord. Jesus advocates for us in heaven, sitting at God's right hand. The Spirit of the risen Christ could not come until Jesus had been glorified. We can be confident that Christ will come again. Amen? Let's jump back to our second reading. So this is the opening of Acts. The first verse, Luke's referring to what he's already said that we've just looked at. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. So this sort of follows on from what we've just heard. Verses 4 and 5, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised. And then he says, John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Spirit. Here Jesus is explaining to followers that once he's gone to heaven, he will be spiritually present everywhere because of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit came so that God could be with us, within us, with and within his followers once Christ had gone back to heaven. And when you have time later on, read the book of John, particularly John 14 to 16, because that explains what the Spirit would do. And in his teaching about the Holy Spirit, Jesus explains why he had to go back to heaven. The disciples gather around him in verse 6. They say, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus assures them that God knows when things will happen. And that same God sets the timetable for our lives. And we need to trust that in all times, God knows what is going on. If we feel that there are changes that are necessary in our lives, we need to make sure that we are keeping to God's timetable. Verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. And that is in relation to that, but it's also in relation to us. Verse 9, we see again the description of the ascension. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Again, one sentence, and the disciples are witnessing Jesus going up to heaven. And it's hugely significant that the disciples actually see this, because then they are assured that Jesus had gone to heaven. But then what do the angels say in verse 11? two men dressed in white appeared. They said, "Why do you stand here looking at the sky? That same Jesus who has been taken from you in heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go to heaven." So what does the ascension mean to us? We pray for the coming of the kingdom. We have confidence that Christ will return. And as these angels said, he will return in the same way that he left. But we don't know the day, the hour, the moment. How might we act if we did know that moment? Instead, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared to meet Christ face to face. Are we ready for that sudden return? Are we living in a way that means we'd be okay with that sudden return? Hopefully, this gives us a chance to reflect on whether or not we are ready for that event. This is